Nicholas von Amsdorf was the only nobleman in Luther's inner circle, yet few people today have ever heard of him. Learn more about one of the first evangelical bishops in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Nicholas von Amsdorf, champion of Martin Luther's Reformation. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 and request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Nicholas von Amsdorf.
You have something very rare. You have wonder. You have mystique. You have magic. Come with me. Together, we can soar on one another's wings.
What's happening? Where are they taking her?
Take Dumbo back inside.
But she's his mom. Do something. She needs us. Look at me. We're gonna bring your mama home.
A little bit of the trailer of the movie Dumbo. Most of us probably remember it very vaguely because we saw it a long time ago. Maybe if you have small children and it's in your DVD collection, you've seen it endlessly. It was one of Walt Disney's shortest animated features, and turning it into a full-length movie with live actors and CGI elephants is probably a temptation that is difficult to resist, especially since Disney has been doing this for a while. Does it live up to the original? And what about this movie causes our guest for the next half hour, Pastor Ted Geese, to say the director, who's known for kind of edgy movies, is in this one playing it safe? Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to review the movie Dumbo. Pastor Ted Geese joins us. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Disney is trying to, see lightning strike twice, sometimes decades and decades apart, with some of its movies. It's done this live actor plus CGI version of Dumbo we're going to be talking about today. They're getting ready to release a CGI version of The Lion King. Do you think this move is going to work?
It has been working for them, so this is why they keep doing it. The first time they did it, I guess, would have probably been with 101 Dalmatians back in 1996. And that one, of course, they used actual dogs for that. And they didn't require CGI dogs for that. But they've done, like, we've talked about Beauty and the Beast. We've talked about The Jungle Book. They did Alice in Wonderland. We've talked about Maleficent. So they've done a bunch of these. Cinderella in 2015. So they've done a whole bunch of these. And they've made quite a bit of money. So, you know, Beauty and the Beast is the number one of these for them so far. It made over $504 million. So that's a pretty good. Their opening weekend, I think, for that was $174 million, which is a lot bigger than this. So this one was about, Dumbo was about $60 million. It was still the number one in the box office. But these projections, they tend to lowball them, and it came in under what they expected. So in this particular case, you know, how well is this playing? You know, Dumbo is a movie originally from 1941. So that's quite long ago in the catalog of Disney, you know, animated films. And it's pre the Disney Renaissance, which started with Beauty and the Beast in terms of their animation.
So is this a true to canon, if we can talk about that in terms of Disney animated features? Is this a true to canon version of Dumbo?
I guess that really depends on your point of view. Like, they have the copyright, so they can do with it what they want to do with it, right? One thing that the original Dumbo about that film was is that it was 61 minutes long. So it wasn't a very long movie, just slightly over an hour long. And even at the time, Walt Disney had pressure from people either to cut it, make it shorter, so that it would be a short, and that's kind of what he originally thought he would do with it, but it turned into this. It was then he decided to make it a feature-length film, or to make it longer, to be at least 74 or 75 minutes long at least. So, and he resisted that because he thought that, you know, it could collapse under the weight of too much padding and extra things. And there was even a little song for one of the main mouse, Timothy Mouse, who's the friend of Dumbo, sings some song about cheese because he's a mouse. And Walt Disney decided, I don't really want to have that in the movie. It doesn't really serve the story at all. So he wasn't looking for ways to make it longer. In this case, you know, none of the animals speak at all. So the 1941 cartoon had talking elephants, and Dumbo himself didn't speak, but Timothy the Mouse did, and there were crows that spoke and sang and stuff like that. So all of that stuff is changed, so that it's not like that. In this case, then, you know, like what they've done is they've made the movie quite a bit longer, and it's got additional human characters in it to kind of, I guess, be an entry point for the viewer into feelings about Dumbo. I don't know if that's really necessary, but in this case, there's a kind of a family of circus performers who have taken Dumbo in under their wing, as it were, within the little circus that he's in. And there's a bigger story about this little circus being kind of gobbled up by a big entertainment promotion, kind of big time circus amusement park kind of thing. And that, of course, isn't in the original film either. So there's a lot more going on in the movie that doesn't line up with it. But I mean, true to canon, you know, you do get the homely little elephant who's kind of also adorable with his feather flying around in the big top of the circus tent. So you do get that.
Tim Burton has gone to his regular stable of actors, and many of them are superstars, to populate this movie. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, for people who have been watching movies for a long time and really enjoy movies, it's kind of fun to see Michael Keaton and Danny DeVito together again in a Tim Burton movie. Last time you saw that was in Batman Returns, the Batman film, which also kind of had a circus kind of element to it. In that film, of course, Michael Keaton's the good guy as Batman, and Danny DeVito is the Penguin, is the bad guy. This kind of gets reversed. So here, Danny DeVito is Max Medici, and he's the owner of the small traveling circus that Dumbo is a part of. And Michael Keaton, he plays this kind of, a middleman circus, big-time circus promoter named V.A. Vandeveer. And so he's more of a villainous character. And of course, he's not even the most villainous character in the film, but that's definitely somebody that Tim Burton has worked with before. Eva Green, he also worked with before, and that was in kind of the fanciful film, and I'm trying to remember the name of that one. It's something about something with something kind of children. Mrs. Peregrine's something, something, something. I can't remember. I remember seeing it in theaters, and it was based on a book, but that was another Tim Burton film, and she was part of that. So he has been, you know, the kind of director who likes to have repeated actors along the way. Johnny Depp, of course, is not in this film, although if he had been in the film, he'd probably be in the character that Michael Keaton plays. The V.A. Vandeveer character would probably be the one that Johnny Depp would be in if he was in this movie, and he is not. But he was in Edward Scissorhands, which is another one of these ugly duckling kind of oddball character movies that turns out that people should not fear the character so much, or pity them as much as they should love and cherish them, kind of a thing. So in that way, it makes some kind of sense that Tim Burton himself would be attached to a story like Dumbo being turned into a movie like this.
You say that this film plays it exceedingly safe, even for a Disney film. What do you mean by that? Give us some examples.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised at this, because the thing about Tim Burton is that he is a little on the edgier side for most people. So if you think of movies like Beetlejuice from 1988, or like I mentioned, Edward Scissorhands from 1990, or Ed Wood, or Big Fish, which also has a circus in it, from 2003, you know, he's doing things. Even he's been involved with stuff like The Nightmare Before Christmas or James and the Giant Peach or Corpse Bride. Those are also like stop action animation films that he was a writer, producer, kind of involved in the process. These are all movies that, you know, they don't have maybe quite the wide appeal that you'd expect, and you know, or maybe you would expect that they don't, because they are a little more edgy, they're a little more dark, they don't pull their punches as much. Like, you know, there's kind of some heartbreaking moments in Edward Scissorhands and movies like that where, you know, the bullying is kind of rougher on the characters. So this is one of these kind of things where with this film, it seems very odd that it's so incredibly safe. And a couple of the examples that kind of came to my mind was, like, I've seen a gazillion movies, and whenever you see like a steam engine puttering along in a movie, you almost always also see the picture of the guy working in the steam engine, putting the coal into the engine to make it go for the steam. And, you know, this, you see the train, but you don't see that. And in my mind, I thought to myself, well, is that because coal would be offensive to people who are, you know, environmentalists, let's say? Or another example would be the character of Millie, which is one of the two children of this family that takes Dumbo under their wing within the circus. And she's a, you know, a girl who's almost a teenager, and she's interested in science, and she shows very little interest in like anything maternal per se. I mean, she cares for the elephant, but she's not interested in marriage and having family and things like that. But of course, this movie is set just after World War I. So the odds that you're going to have little girls so intent on being like Madame Curie, as opposed to like being like their mother who just died of influenza, you know, like that seems, it's a little out of character, but it would definitely be the kind of thing that would be appealing to like feminists or to people who want to see more science. And science itself plays kind of a role in this film. Like, there's a lot of talk about experiments and things like that. And it's just something that wasn't in the original, and it seems to be there to make it maybe quote-unquote relevant, but it's all done in kind of a way that's very safe. And then, of course, the very most infamous thing from the 1941 cartoon was the pink elephants on parade, and that shows up over and over again in Disney things, even on their TV show, and, you know, all over the place that shows up over and over again. And it's this sequence in the movie where Dumbo and Timothy Mouse end up accidentally drinking champagne, and the elephants that they see is a hallucination brought on by drinking the champagne. This, of course, is like childhood alcoholism or drinking is not a very good, right, and salutary thing anyways, and is a little weird all on its own. But again, in this, the pink elephants are there because people want to see them, but it has nothing to do with alcohol. So that it has nothing to do with that at all. So again, it's just over and over again, there's these little moments that are kind of clawed back or kept simpler or imbued with things that are going to be easier on the audience. And there's less things that are going to be challenging or difficult. It doesn't embrace the oddities of the original film in the way that you'd expect Tim Burton to do. And it just kind of seems a little tame in the end final product.
We're reviewing the movie Dumbo with Pastor Ted Geese. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. I'd like to know a little bit more about those cigar-smoking crows. We'll talk about them after this. Another neighborhood is dressing up to be there too. Like we always do.
Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
When I Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference is coming to Chicago for its one and only 2019 conference. You can meet and hear Ross Douthat, Matt Harrison, Wesley Smith, Aaron Wolf, Hans Feeney, and Will Whedon Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
Discover a truly Lutheran approach to education. Concordia University Chicago's Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts supports a vibrant, growing community of classical educators. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, parent, or homeschooler, we have the resources and contacts you need to start a child's journey into the Lutheran Liberal Arts. Visit cuchicago.edu/cala. That's C-A-L-L-A.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Emmanuel Press is a Lutheran-owned business in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in operation since 2004. That's 15 years of publishing liturgical and devotional books, 15 years of collaborating with Lutheran authors, artists, and translators. Thanks to our loyal customers and Issues Etc., we look forward to many more years of confessing and teaching the Christian faith. Visit us online at emmanuelpress.us, E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L, press.us.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're reviewing the movie Dumbo with Pastor Ted Geese. Ted, you were talking before the break about how the movie plays it safe. I haven't recalled seeing this movie since I was probably 4 years old. It was not one that was in the circulation when our kids were young enough to have enjoyed it on VHS. But one of my memories of this movie is pretty distinct, and it's the cigar-smoking crows who were, I think the voice work was done by at least one of the actors who did the old Amos and Andy radio show. Did those characters make the cut?
No, that, and listen, you know, not all changes are bad changes. And like, I think that the central crow in the original 1941 cartoon was called Jim Crow. It's a little rough, you know, and, you know, at the time they were certainly characters that were voiced by, you know, African-American voice actors and singers, and they were involved in the process of making them. And they are kind of like, I watched a couple clips on YouTube to refresh my memory. They are pretty positive characters overall. They're pretty important to the film in that they're the ones that give the feather to Dumbo that convinces him that he can fly, but he actually doesn't need the feather. It was one of their feathers that's the quote-unquote magic feather that he uses. So, and they take a shine to him and treat him nicely, even though he's being, you know, abused and treated poorly by other elephants in the, you know, the circus that don't even treat him as another elephant anymore after he, you know, so embarrasses them, etc. So, I mean, like, it's a product of its time, but he doesn't try to incorporate it in a way that has a positive spin on it. Currently, he just, like, it just gets avoided. So the kids in the film are the ones that kind of take up that part of the narrative. They're the ones that figure out the thing about the feather. They're the ones that make sure he has the feathers, like Dumbo has the feathers, that kind of thing. So that does not stick through to this rendition of the film. And that's another example of it just being kind of on the safer side of things. And but again, you know, not all changes are bad changes. It's just, how do you embrace that original material? And is there a way of taking that same material and presenting it in a positive way, if it was negative then, or in a way that would be positive now, etc.? So, you know, the safe thing to do is just to not have that in there at all, right?
So if we could put this in terms of a world view, anything there that you would say the Christian viewer of Dumbo might be alert to?
Well, there's a couple things. Like, one thing is that it has, like, already back, even in the 1941 version of it, there's this tailor-made kind of idea that is, you'd think would be tailor-made to Hollywood today. And that is this idea that you have it in yourself to fly. You can do it on your own, kind of a thing. So there's that. But then also the other kind of worldview that kind of comes out in this, and this is kind of at cross purposes with it, is this equally powerful idea that Hollywood has grabbed hold of, which is the idea of political correctness. So this is the social justice warrior kind of thing. And that's kind of dampening a lot of the oddball, strange things in the film, or taking it down that safe path as opposed to looking at the kind of more rough things. So Christian, you know, audiences may want to think about that stuff. There are a couple other things. One thing is, and it goes by pretty quickly and they don't dwell on it too much, but there is a character who is the snake charmer from East Indian snake charmer, like South Asian snake charmer. And he kind of comments when he first discovers this about the elephant being able to fly, which the elephant shouldn't be able to fly. He kind of comments that, you know, sometimes gods can manifest themselves in animals. So this is kind of a Hindu kind of reincarnation kind of thing with their pantheon of gods, right? Plus also then Mrs. Jumbo, Dumbo's mother, the elephant, shows up fully painted up and presented as the goddess Kali the Destroyer, which is a Hindu goddess. And that comes up at one point in the film too. So there's a little bit of Hinduism kind of peppered in there. Again, they don't dwell on it, but it's there. The other thing, though, I think probably Christian viewers will probably enjoy is there's an emphasis on the importance of family throughout the film, because you have this kind of core family that Dumbo kind of gets adopted into in a way, and that's Captain Holt Ferrier, played by Colin Farrell, with his two kids, Millie and Joe, played by Nika Parker and Finley Hobbins. And this family has lost its mother from influenza, and the father's just returned from the war, World War I, having lost an arm. And they kind of take Dumbo in underneath their wing, and he becomes part of their family in a way. And that emphasis on family and the focus on getting, if possible, Mrs. Jumbo, Dumbo's mother, and him back together again, that is a very positive family story in the midst of it. So that's something that I think that Christian audiences want to pay attention to.
Any cautions or pastoral advice for parents wanting to take their little children to see Dumbo?
Now, I said that it's pretty tame. So, like, you had mentioned that you probably saw the cartoon when you were like 4 years old or something. It was probably the same sort of deal for me. I don't recall watching it too many times over the years. That cartoon's a little harsh in places, actually, when you look back at it. I've watched some segments of it just recently. Some of the bullying and harshness that Dumbo receives in the original cartoon has definitely been tamed down in this film. But then what happens with that, though, is if you do that, you kind of let the dramatic air out of the balloon, because then the moments where people are kind to Dumbo are not as, you know, they don't have the same weight, or his moments of triumph aren't quite as triumphant, if he's not being bullied quite as harshly, as it were. That's just the way drama works. Even still, like for families with kids as young as four, because this is a live action film, you know, I use air quotes because these are not real elephants. You know, they are real actors and stuff. There are going to be some moments in it that will probably still be a little bit too much for the youngest of kids. Keep that in mind as well.
One final question for you, and it's not on Dumbo, but on one we mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, the quote-unquote live action, the CGI version of The Lion King coming out. If you look at the trailer, it appears to be trying to recreate through CGI frame for frame what we see in that film that became a Broadway hit and all the other things that it became. How much does Disney have to stick to that film? That film's kind of special to people. How much does it have to stick to that film, if not frame for frame, for audiences to say, okay, that was The Lion King that I remember as a little kid?
Yeah, you know, like this is the thing. I mean, like you're saying, your memory of Dumbo from 1941, which is a movie that came out before you were born and before I was born and has just kind of been out there, your memory of that is fairly dim. You saw it maybe once or twice when you were really little, and that's about it. But The Lion King is certainly one that people have come back to over and over again. And for kids that grew up in the 1990s, that is one that was on repeat view. So they know it inside and out, and the odds of changes being made to that in such a way that, you know, you're adding whole new characters or you're, you know, taking characters out or things like that, that is going to be harder to do. I think that you're right. It's going to be kind of a repristination of the original cartoon with not too many changes. You know, they've got, you know, even some of the same people coming back to do the voices. So James Earl Jones has come back to do Mufasa again. So this is the kind of thing where people are going to be very careful about it. Again, this year, they also have Aladdin coming out, which is one that people remember quite well. But instead of Robin Williams, it's Will Smith as the genie in that film. So, you know, like there they may be able to do a little bit of changes to things, and there may be some cultural sensitivity stuff that they're going to want to make adjustments to when it comes to Aladdin. And even with the cartoon itself for Aladdin, they had taken bits and pieces out of it for subsequent releases. Like, you know, Aladdin would go in the vault and come back slightly altered for some of those sensitivities. So Disney is not, this is not new to Disney when it comes to like this movie Dumbo, but they certainly do kind of carefully look at their products that they're presenting.
You can read Pastor Ted Geese's review of Dumbo at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thanks.
Thank you.
Dr. Jacob Corzine joins us when we return. We're going to talk about the two natures of Christ in the Lord's Supper.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What does Easter have to do with mission work? Find out in the April issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine, as you learn to see Christian missions through the lens of Easter and see Easter anew through the eyes of LCMS missionaries around the world. Celebrate Jesus' death and resurrection together with all the saints throughout time and to the very ends of the earth. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
If you appreciate Issues Etc., Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian, and Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio.